This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. Citizens' councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The citizens' councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello, everybody. This is Congressman John Bell Williams of Mississippi, substituting for your regular host, Dick Morphew. Welcome to the Citizens Council Forum. We are pleased to welcome as our guest on the Citizens Council Forum today one of America's most distinguished statesmen, the distinguished governor of the state of Arkansas, Honorable Orville Faubus. Governor Faubus was reelected to his third term as governor of the state of Arkansas last year with the greatest majority ever given a gubernatorial candidate in the history of the state. Welcome to the Citizens Council Forum, Governor.
Thank you, Congressman.
Governor, since the Supreme Court's segregation decisions of 1954, you have become the central figure in the most serious constitutional crisis that has arisen since the War for Southern Independence. Governor, just what is the real issue in this controversy?
Well, Congressman Williams, the real and basic issue is very often submerged with what we sometimes term the extraneous matter. The real and basic issue is the separation of powers as set up by the Founding Fathers and continued on down to the present time. The real issue is the usurpation of powers reserved to the states by the federal government without going through the proper processes of amendment of the Constitution. You find it very clearly illustrated in the writings of Jefferson, which I've quoted quite extensively since the controversy arose. The real usurpation, of course, has been by the United States Supreme Court without any basis for the assumption of that power. Not only in the field which has always been reserved to the states, the field of education, but in other fields, the Supreme Court has stepped in. You find that Jefferson, in writing of this question, said that the germ of dissolution of our federal government is in the Constitution of the federal judiciary. Then he said that an irresponsible body, working like gravity by night and by day, gaining a little today and a little tomorrow, and advancing its noiseless step like a thief over the field of jurisdiction, until all shall be usurped from the states, and the government of all be consolidated into one. To this I am opposed, because when all government, domestic and foreign, in little as in great things, shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it will render powerless the checks provided of one government on another, and will become as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated, referring, of course, to the government of King George when the War of Independence began. Now, the 10th Amendment says that all powers, not delegated to the federal government, nor prohibited by it to the states, is reserved to the states and to the people. The states have the power. You can delegate it down to the localities or to the people. But when the federal government steps in and takes over the field, then you have no more control over local affairs by local people who know them best, and you have no control over state matters And of course, you know, with the 50 states of the Union, there is even greater variety of problems since we have 50 than there were when there were 48. And then you find, Congressman Williams, that George Washington recognized this, that the danger was great from the usurpation of power by any branch of government that was not delegated to it by the Constitution. And he said this.
I believe he mentioned that in his farewell address, yes. Did he not?
He said, if in the opinion of the people, the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be in any particular wrong, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates. But let there be no change by usurpation. For though this in one instance may be the instrument of good, it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. And writing to me recently was a person who wrote thusly, it has been said that it is not so much the separation of the races as the continued separation of powers, federal, state, and local, which guarantees the liberty of all races. And that, I think, Congressman Williams, is the central issue in this whole conflict. It is not confined to Arkansas. It is not confined to the South. You find it in many fields throughout the nation.
Governor, as I understand our system of government, the federal government, under our Constitution, is a limited government, a government which was intended to exercise certain limited powers specifically set out in the Constitution. Now, as a matter of fact, Governor, if the federal government under our Constitution is not to be a limited form of government, actually there is no need to have a written Constitution, is there?
The Constitution would become a scrap of paper under the continued usurpation of the powers reserved to the states. That was the reason the Constitution was written. They feared an all-powerful central government, as they had in the old countries at that time, and therefore sought to set up a government here which could not enter into many fields, and all of those fields where power was not specifically delegated to the federal government were reserved, as the 10th Amendment says, to the states and to the people.
Governor, may I ask a question before we close? Just how sincere do you believe that these pressure groups, or the people whom we call pressure groups, might be in attempting to advance the welfare of our Negro citizens? I use, of course, for an example, the NAACP.
Well, there's plenty of facts and information to indicate the lack of sincerity in the leadership. Now, no one disagrees with the thought of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. That is a phrase with which all can agree. And in Little Rock and in Arkansas, we've been mindful of that. And in fact, when the controversy arose over the forcible integration of the schools in the city of Little Rock, you find that the students who left Horace Mann High School to enter Central High School...
Horace Mann was a colored high school.
...were leaving a colored high school, Horace Mann, which is far more modern than Central. Only about 4 or 5 years old, and incidentally rated fifth in the nation for being modern, utilitarian, and beautiful. The degrees of the teachers in that school were higher than the degrees on the average of the teachers in Central High School. Central High School is 30 years old. Horace Mann is 4 or 5 years old. So they were leaving a finer school with better qualified teachers, so far as the academic standards are concerned, and entering another school. Therefore, people who know the situation well could draw the conclusion that it was not a matter of advancement educationally of the students, but was the promotion of these people who were the leaders, who are on a paid basis, because Mrs. Bates, who headed the program, is the paid worker for the NAACP in Arkansas. And incidentally, I have in my files information showing that over the country they've held testimonial dinners for her, where funds are raised for her personal use.
Well,
it said on the basis of repairing her home that it had been bombed 11 times and so on, which is untrue.
Governor, let me ask you this question, and we're all greatly concerned over the situation in Little Rock, naturally. After it became necessary to close the high schools of the city of Little Rock in order to keep the peace of the community...
That is right.
I recall that private schools were set up for the white children, and as I understand it, all of your white children now are receiving an education who desire to do so. Is that correct?
That is right.
Now, how about the colored children?
Well, many of the colored students are continuing their education in other schools. Under the act which we passed, there's no discrimination whatsoever in the use of funds for students. Race is not mentioned. So that funds could be transferred from that area where the schools were closed to other schools which these students might enter, either public or private. So then the movement began to set up private schools because the public schools could not absorb all of those from the closed schools. All of the white students are in school. Most of the Negro students are in school. We were prepared to put all of them in school. And I had calls from Negro leaders who were interested, and white citizens were interested also in helping to provide these educational facilities. But Mr. Wilkins, executive secretary of the NAACP, came to Little Rock and set the policy in a public address that they would not accept the use of these facilities even if they offered or provided. If they were there ready, they still would not enter the door because, as he said, it would jeopardize their case in the courts for the complete and total integration of a Little Rock school system. Now, you hear a great deal about the fact that 9 Negro students among 2,000 white students, but the Blossom Plan, under which all of this controversy developed, calls for the complete and total integration of the schools. It is not a question of token integration. It's a question of complete integration.
Governor, I think the fact that the NAACP deliberately stopped the drive to raise funds to set up a private school system for the Negroes in Little Rock is indicative, at least it is to me, of the insincerity of this group in really seeking to advance the status, the education, and the well-being of their own race.
Well, the paid leaders and also the attorneys have had a very good thing out of it. We've had more high-priced attorneys in Little Rock since this thing began than we've ever seen before in the history of Arkansas, and the attorneys on the local level have thrived likewise.
Governor Faubus, thank you very much for being with us, and thank you very much for being with us on this week's Citizens Council Forum. Our guest this week has been Governor Orville Faubus of the state of Arkansas. Governor, we thank you very much for appearing with us. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Congressman Williams.
Thank you. Tune in again next week at the same time for another interesting program on the Citizens Council Forum, when your regular host, Dick Morphew, will present another distinguished guest from Washington, D.C. Until then, this is Congressman John Bell Williams of Mississippi saying thanks for listening.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained. We'll be right back.